May it please the court, my name is Jonathan Salovey, representing the appellant, Eric Pondelik. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This case presents the specter of an individual being forced to undergo the rigors of trial while suffering the extreme pain of an abscessed tooth and a runaway infection. Not only was Mr. Pondelik suffering extreme pain, but he also was disfigured. Indeed, because of the runaway infection, his face was swollen and red, as recognized by the district court, and as repeatedly noted by defense counsel.
When did the district court reference that? What part of the trial was it that the district court actually referenced the swollen cheek?
At the close of the government's case, it was noted. The close of the government's case, defense counsel noted that.
But I'm referring to, you mentioned that it was noticeable, and I thought that was the following day. I thought at the end of this case, the defense counsel made the statement for the first time about the infection.
Your Honor, on ER 347, on November 30th, when the government rested this case on at 3 p.m., defense counsel stated that Pondelik had finally received antibiotics that day, delivered by the deputy marshal. Defense counsel requested that the district court to direct Pondelik that he be taken early or late in the next day to see a doctor, as Pondelik's infection keeps on getting worse as he's in considerable pain. He noted that there was, quote-unquote, visible swelling and redness on the face of Mr. Pondelik's face. There was no question, not only was it noted during the trial proceedings, but both defense counsel and Mr. Pondelik made it clear that Mr. Pondelik was suffering the extreme pain and had this problem well before the first witness took the witness stand.
What do you mean by forced? What's your definition of forced? It looks to me as if this district judge was an extremely sensitive man, and it actually looks like he would probably continue the case on Wednesday morning. And client said, nope, we want to force ahead with it. Now, when you say he was forced to do it, what do you mean? Who forced him?
I mean by what the United States Supreme Court says. Indeed, the United States Supreme Court has stated that inmates are not the captains of their own ship when it comes to their personal health.
That's not the question. The question is, what do you mean that he was forced to do it when the judge offered amelioration and he said, no thank you, I'd rather just get on with this case? How does that play into your definition of force?
Mr. Pondelik was given, based on his experience, he had no indication that he would receive the adequate medical care that he had requested, since
the next day he did.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
The next day, of course, he did receive it, despite what his personal opinion might have been.
He did not receive it until there was a series of events. The government closed, and he didn't receive it until...
Then what happened? But he received it the next day. The next day, the court said, look, we'll hold off the jury's determination even. We'll just hold things off. Will you go do it? And he says, okay, and he went on and did it the next day.
The day before that,
the judge was suggesting the same thing, and he said, no, let's get on with this case. He and his lawyer said that. So I just want to sort of this force. That's a very strange word you use in that sense.
Actually, it was 2 days before when the government rested its case. The problem was noted to the district court repeatedly. And the next morning, the problem arose again.
Well, the first part was kind of at the end of the day, right?
It was at 3 p.m. And then the next day, again, the issue arose again in the morning on the next day.
Was that when they reported the following day?
And then he received the procedure.
Was there any testimony between the time that he first brought it to the district court's attention and the time at 3:51 where the defense attorney says he's interested in getting this done? Was there any testimony between that?
There was no, no. There was no testimony at that point because...
So he's alerted at the end of the day. The district judge is alerted at the end of the day, and the following morning the defendant says through his attorney that he wants to get this done.
Actually, the district court tasked the government to get it done, and it didn't get done. At the close of the government's case on November 30th, which was the second...
I think Judge Goodman was referring to the trial.
During the part of the trial where the witnesses were testifying, no, that was not raised. However, Mr. Pondelik and defense counsel made it very clear to the district court that the problem had been ongoing throughout the trial.
So how did this problem manifest itself at the trial? I mean, he refused to testify because he was in such pain? Is that what you're saying? Is that the point of your argument?
Well, there's two reasons. First, he's undergoing severe pain. And
what did that result in? Did he refuse to testify because, oh, I got such pain I can't speak?
Well, it's disfiguring.
No.
You have...
So it's disfiguring. What is that result? What is the result of that?
Well,
what is the harm? Where's the harm? I don't understand your argument at all.
The harm is whether or not when an individual makes a critical decision, whether or not to take the witness stand.
So he was mentally he just couldn't make an intelligent decision about whether or not he wanted to testify. Now is that what your argument is?
That decision was not unencumbered. A, because of his physical...
So it was not voluntary then?
Not voluntary.
Not because voluntary. So he was not only forced to testify, he was forced not to testify. Is that what your argument is?
I don't think the word force is what I would use. What I would say is it was not an unencumbered unencumbered decision. It was encumbered by the fact that he, had a condition that was physical.
I thought the district court judge sort of gave him, admonishment or advisement about you have the right to take the stand if you want, you don't have to, explained all that to him, and then said, and you ought to consult with your attorney.
That's correct.
And he did that. Did he do that?
The district court did give that advisement.
And did he come back and say, well, I was in such pain, I couldn't consult with my lawyer?
What Mr. Pondelik stated on the record was that he was in significant pain. And what he made it clear to the court that he was in such pain.
Well, I'd ask you, if you'll go to 352, which is when he's advised and he makes a confirmation that he doesn't want to testify, at least I didn't find anything in that colloquy where he made any statement about the abscess tooth impairing his ability to make the judgment. In fact, unless I'm missing it, I don't see anything in there where he's complaining of pain at the time of he foregoes the right to testify.
What he did say, Your Honor, was, and I'll quote it, "This is not to say that I don't think I need medical attention. If I wasn't in the situation I am in, I would be at the emergency room and have them taken care of whatever the problem is." Then the district court judge said, "I can't quite hear you." And the defendant said, "That's not to say I don't want medical attention. If I wasn't in the situation I am in, I would be at the emergency room getting it taken care of. A real doctor. Not to downgrade the FDC, but it has been an ongoing problem since last Wednesday." Last Wednesday was 2 days after voir dire and 5 days before the trial. So what Mr. Pondelik individually expressly said to the court was, A, I am in so much pain that I would be the emergency room, quote unquote, but for the situation I'm in. The situation he was in that he was referencing is the fact that he had been unable to see a real doctor. And right after, in the transcript, right after he makes the decision, says, okay, I'm willing to go forward. Right after that is when he explains to the court exactly what I quoted to you today. So he is saying,
Does he make any proffer that he would have otherwise testified and his testimony would have been A, B, or C, and it would have benefited his case?
No, Your Honor, but I don't believe that's required. I believe what's required is he has a constitutional right to aid in his own defense.
Your time is up. Thank you very much. We'll hear from the government.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Michael Morgan. I represent the United States in this appeal. The chronology of this case rebuts any suggestion that the defendant was in any way compelled or forced to proceed the trial against his will or in the face of any disabling pain or anything of that nature. The issue wasn't even raised until the end of the government's case, after the third day of trial, at the end of the day. It was raised as a housekeeping matter. The court directed the government to do whatever it could do to facilitate some care. The next morning, the court makes it very clear on the record that there was a dentist willing and able to afford Mr. Pondelik treatment, and Mr. Pondelik affirmatively refused. He made the conscious choice that he wanted to go forward with the trial. The government would suggest that that is an affirmative waiver of any claim that he was in any way compelled to go forward. Basically, he was offered treatment and he refused. He can't be heard now to complain that the district court should have done anything else. I would like to just clarify one point for the record. The issue of him being disfigured, that actually wasn't even raised until the jury was actually in deliberations. So there's actually no record evidence that he was so disfigured before the jury that it would have been in any way distracting. And finally, I would just want to point out that when the defendant was allocated with respect to his right not to testify, at no point did he or his attorney say that his decision was in any way impacted by his medical condition, nor did counsel say that his ability to consult with his client was in any way impacted by his medical condition. So on this record, there's simply no basis for the defendant to assert that his rights were in any way violated. Unless the court has any further questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your arguments. The matter is submitted.